Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we have special guest, Pastor Wayne Tesh, co-founder of Royal Family Kids. Royal Family Kids is the nation's leading network of camps and mentor clubs for children of abuse, abandonment, and neglect. Today, Pastor Wayne has a message of encouragement for us out of Mark chapter 2. Now here's Pastor Wayne.
What a privilege it is to be here among the sunburst of Oregon. If we could have some of the rain down in Southern California that you have up here, we would be able to drink more water. I just want to say it's always a privilege to bring sun to Oregon. Okay. I'm a missionary, and I'm a missionary to children in the foster care system in America. I'm a missionary to children between the ages of 6 and 12 who are in the foster care system, children who have been thrown up against walls and locked in closets, children who hide under their beds in fear and whose nightmares are real, children who have been beaten with 2x4s, whipped with bicycle chains, and burned with cigarette butts, and for 1 week in the cathedral of the outdoors, surrounded by God's people. Hope, the seeds of hope and healing are implanted in their hearts and minds. You are the people that are incredible. This summer we'll have 200 camps, and you're one of 200. You're an army of compassion. Over 10,500 adults who have given a week of their time to say, it doesn't matter about my vacation. I'm here to serve. You have the hearts to make an incredible difference. People like that started this, the Orfields, Kelly and Tammy, and Jeannie Gergen, and now Lorraine Zumwalt. You are the heroes, and every one of you have a mission and a ministry in helping children, and I applaud that. Well, we're in 37 different states, 26 different church denominations. Kind of exciting to watch what happens. I mean, this Pentecostal guy wore a Lutheran robe to preach once, and I went to the wrong pulpit. You know, I mean, you're saying, really? You know, I've been in some of these unique situations, and I just really appreciate being involved with God's people who have a passion and a heart to make a difference in the lives of children. I just want to say to a person, I've said it personally, but I know that Jim Swanson's here. I don't know where he's at. But when I first started in 1990, he was one of the first pastors to have me come and speak at his church. At that time, we had 3 camps wondering if we were ever going to make something. And he spoke a vision into my heart, and he gave me an opportunity. And we sat at meetings and that, and I just really appreciate, Jim, what you have done in my life. Turn with me to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I just love this. I just love the scripture. Got to put on my... Mark chapter 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this before." Imagine with me, please imagine with me, that this is part of the story that we're all involved with. And there is a knock at the door, and there's a voice from within that says, "Come on in." And they open the door and they say, "Friend, guess what? Jesus is in town. And where Jesus is, great things begin to happen. Lives are transformed. The blind can see. The deaf can hear. The lame can walk. And we're taking you to Jesus." So they pick him up and they walk down those narrow streets of Capernaum. They come to the place where Jesus is. And they find that it's packed with people. And they couldn't get him in. And I imagine probably what happened, they had a little holy huddle. They put their friend down, they got together, and they said, "What are we going to do now?" So they came back and they said, we've come up with an idea. Guess what? You're going to go up on the roof. What I love about coming up to Portland is that you have two-story homes. California, those ranch styles, you know, just doesn't really give credit to it. But how many have carried a mattress up to the second floor bedroom? It's a slight angle. Put a person on that. And you're walking up the stairs. And the poor guy, I'm just saying, it's a white-knuckle ride. He's hanging on for dear life because he's saying, "Oh, don't drop me, don't drop." And they walk up on the roof. And it's flat roofs. And they get up there. And they probably have another holy huddle. This isn't in Scripture, Pastor. It's just man. They get together and they say, "Now what are we going to do?" And one of them said, "Why don't we dig a hole in the roof?" Okay. And this is what I really like. Here's Jesus. He's preaching, teaching to the people that were there. And sharing God's love. And people are enthralled with the message that he is sharing with them. Pretty soon, dust begins to descend on Jesus' head like snow. Pretty soon, some great big dirt clods begin to fall. And Jesus, being Jesus, he moves because he's not going to get hit by the big ones. Because the Jesus I know, he has everything under control. He knows what's going on. People are going, "What's going on up there? Look what's going on." And Jesus still going on, carrying on a message. And I've often wondered, how big of a hole do you make in a roof to let a man come down through it? Does he come down horizontally? Does he come down, or vertically? Does he come down horizontally? They could have just dropped him. He was going to be healed anyways, but they didn't know that at the time. That's the Jesus I serve. And they begin to lower the mat the man was on, and he comes into the presence of Jesus. And when you engage in the presence of Jesus, something begins to happen in your life. Your heart begins to beat a little bit stronger. You begin to see things differently, and you know something great is about to happen. And I imagine that Jesus, realizing how all this is going on, he says, "Son, my son, your sins are forgiven." He takes care of first things first. "But that you over there may know that I'm the Son of Man, I want to say unto you, arise. Arise from your past. Arise from your pain. Arise from a mindset that has you so paralyzed that you cannot comprehend nor understand the goodness that God has for you. Arise." One of the things that I realize in this story is that what could happen is that the man could have said, "You know, I enjoy living in the past." And what happens with adult victims of abuse, we have a tendency to be able to look in the past and get stuck in the past. Instead of seeing the future, it's like driving down I-5 heading towards the sunshine in California, and you come down the road and you become looking into the into the mirror to see where you've been all the time. And if you begin focusing on the past all the time, you're going to end up in an accident, in a ditch. You're going to end up on the side of the road, disabled, not able to move forward. That's not what Jesus says. When you come to him, you become a new person in Christ Jesus. Those chains are broken. You are a new person, and he has a new plan for your life. And as you begin to drive south, you begin to say, oh, I see a view. I see that God has something for me. And you look in the mirror for the past, but you're not stuck there. And you say, I used to be that guy. I used to be that lady. But by the grace of God, God is healing my spirit, and I'm something new in Christ Jesus. And you begin to understand that that is the key. That's a key principle that you need to comprehend, that you become a new person in Christ Jesus. Now, I've often wondered, when Jesus had this man stand up, I wondered if you were one of the four people up on the roof looking down, what would you do? I know what I'd do. My wife would probably say, thank you, Jesus. Good job. Thank you. Oh, this is exciting. I would say, I'm coming down. And I jump in, put my arms around the guy, hug him, go up to Jesus, give him a high five. You know, I just think that'd be marvelous. Because once you experience a miracle, you can't control yourself. It's like an artesian well. It just bubbles. You try to put something. No, it doesn't stop it. It just keeps coming. And when you live in the Spirit of God, there's a fullness of excitement that God will do something incredible every day of your life. And when you see it, you say, thank you, Jesus. This is kind of exciting. And if you come from a past experience of abuse and you've dealt with all that anger, and you say, hey, praise God, I don't have to deal with that as much anymore. Thank you, Jesus. You have become a new person in Christ Jesus. Now, this is what I like is interesting, because this is in Scripture. He picked up his stretcher. And what I like is that the people parted, as he probably had a little New York strut and just went on home. I've often wondered, this isn't in Scripture, but I've often wondered, and I'm sure you have too. I'm a camp guy, so you always try to keep things really nice and neat, you know? And I've often wondered, who fixed the hole in the roof? So, I imagine that the next day, there's a knock at the door. And instead of a voice that says, come on in, there's a man that opens the door. And he's there with his four friends. And then they begin to walk down those narrow streets of Capernaum, and instead of carrying a stretcher with the man on it, they're all carrying their tool kits. And instead of four men that walk up those steps, there's now five that ascend those stairs. And there with fresh mud and palm fronds, they begin to repair that roof. And there with, I believe that the man that came through the roof and was healed by Jesus took his finger and said, I came through the roof, signed his name, put the date, and someday some archaeologists just may find that. There are 2.3 million children who have reported cases of abuse in America, and they're lying on the stretcher. One out of every 3 to 4 women have experienced some form of abuse, whether that's physical, emotional, neglect, or sexual. 1 out of every 6 to 7 men have experienced some form of abuse. They're lying on the stretcher. 74% of all the men in prison come from the foster care background. 85% of women young girls and boys who are entrapped in sexual slavery, 80 to 85% of them come from the foster care system. They're lying on the stretcher. And they need the church of Jesus Christ to grab a handle and bring them to Jesus. Because only Jesus can renew a mind. Only Jesus can restore a heart. Only Jesus can set people free from their past and give them a hope for a future. That's what we're about. And the people here at Parkland Christian Center. 200 camps are going on this year, 204, whatever it is. And you are part of that incredible group of stretcher bearers throughout the nation. You are carrying people to Jesus. Whether you go, whether you give, whether you stay and pray, whatever it is, this church is a beacon of hope to children in the foster care system. You are providing healing to the least of these. You are to be applauded for what you do. And I just personally want to say thank you. In 1985, when we first started this, I received a phone call from the head psychiatrist at University of Irvine in Orange County. And he said, we have a little 7-year-old boy here, and he has attempted suicide 3 times since December, and it's now June. I said, well, what's the story? And he tells me the story. He said, you know, what happened is he was singing Christmas carols with the Sunday school class. And as he was walking through this one facility, an evil man enticed this little boy to come in this room, and there he did all sorts of horrific, horrendous things upon his little body. Went for the next 45 minutes, and when he was finished with them, he opened up the window of his first floor apartment room and literally threw Jonathan out the window, and he landed in the garden area. He was so traumatized he could not speak. He was bloody, bruised, wandering aimlessly in circles within that environment. Sunday school teacher found him, took him to the hospital, and from December to June, attempted suicide 3 times. He was heavily medicated, and the head psychiatrist said, what he really needs is to go out and experience what it's like to have sun on his face, the wind to blow through his hair, and get out of the cell and see something different. Came to camp that week, and we had somebody 24/7 watching him all the time. He was highly medicated. We didn't know if we were getting through to him or not. He would come to me and say, would you please guard the bathroom and see if anyone's in there? I go in, check it, and he said, could you stand out here and let me go in? And he never took a shower for a week. He was just so traumatized with what was happening. He came back another year, and finally he comes back, and I see him out in the church parking lot, and I yelled to him. I say, Jonathan! He looks, and he comes running to me. I got down on one knee. I opened up my arms, and I just gave him a great big bear hug, and I put him back, and I said, oh, Jonathan, something new has happened in your life. I can see it. I see it. Your eyes are dancing. There's a smile on your face. Something has happened. What is it? And I'll never forget this little boy looking down at me and saying, Pastor Tesh, you know that man that did all those bad things to me? I've learned to forgive him. Children teach you so much, because I realized as I was down on one knee on the concrete outside our church that there was some healing that needed to take place in my life. The perpetrator never comes and says, I'm sorry, I did this terrible thing, I'm really sorry. What happens is that people who have come from this background are the ones that say, I forgive you. And when you say, I forgive you, that's the Jesus way. As Jesus was upon the cross, he looked down and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you're able to forgive. When you forgive, something begins to happen in your life. It's about forgiveness. Now, this may open up old wounds or something, but understand, it happens a little at a time for many of us. To just walk through this difficulty, to recognize what is taking place, that we become new people in Christ Jesus through forgiveness. Forgiveness is the key. And if there's a way we can begin to plant the seeds of hope in children's lives, we can help change the trajectory of their lives forever. The prison statistics will drop down. The sexual trafficking that takes place, they'll be able to say, no, we don't want that. We understand what that is. If we could work with the children, we believe we can make an incredible difference in the world in which we live. We are taking 6% of all the children in foster care between the ages 6 and 12 to a week of camp around the country. You say, well, that's not very much, but how many of you would like to have 6% of anything to just be able to put together? We realize we have a ways to go. And that's the joy of our lives, is to keep saying we will get more children involved in the kingdom. And it's because of good people doing great things. That's what it's about, and forgiveness is all part of that. Well, he comes back when he was 11 and 12. We usually say we take children ages 7 to 11, they have a divine appointment from heaven, but we realize we have to take a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old. So he was 12 years old, and he came back. And the counselor said, now, Jonathan, tell me, what are you going to do with your life? And Jonathan said, typical California response, I'm going to make lots of money. I'm going to make lots of money. Why are you going to make lots of money? He said, so I can buy Royal Family Kids Camp. So you can buy Royal Family Kids Camp. Why is that? So that other children like me can find who God is in their life. That is what you are doing. You are blessing the people as adults. This is always about kids for me. Always about kids. Because the way kids are mistreated, kids in the spiral of evil in the world, it all comes down to kids. Kids get it all. It spirals down, runs downhill, and the evil hits the kids. It's unbelievable, some of the things you hear. Just unbelievable. So I always believed it was about kids until September 1st, 1999, in the last century. I was able to be involved in a funeral of our first grandpa, Grandpa Walt Smith. And I'll never forget, as I walked up, church was full like this. And there were about 8 rows over in the far right. And they're all wearing their Royal Family T-shirts. Now, I don't know, we're pretty casual, but if you wear logo T-shirts to a funeral, that was kind of different and new back in the 90s. So I said, wow, that's interesting. I walked up and I looked over, and it was an open casket. I looked over, and there I saw Grandpa with his hands folded, wearing his long-sleeve blue denim Royal Family Kids Camp shirt, a starfish pin, and his Royal Family wristwatch. That's when I realized this isn't just about kids. It's about finding purpose and passion and meaning in your life. And that is one of the things that has really helped us to grow and develop what has taken place with Royal Family. To find college students, find their meaning and purpose. Because when you begin to serve, that's when it all comes together. And we learned so much from the children. And I'll never forget this one little boy that came up to me and said, he was in Michigan, he comes up, Pastor Tesh, me and Jesus, we've got a lot in common. I've been around a long time, but I never heard anybody say it like that. I got down on one knee, I said, you do? What's that? He said, we both have foster dads by the name of Joseph. Pretty bright, intuitive kid. That got me thinking, Pastor, how many heroes of the faith grew up in homes other than their own? My family, they've been married for, my mom and dad were married 58 years. My wife's mom and dad were married 64 years. Diane and I, we've been married 92 years, 46 for her and 46 for me. What happens is that within that concept of all these adults, you know, and what happens is that I realize that there's another way in how God's word has a way of letting us know that husband, wife, that's a good model. But there's other models. There's other models. I think it's humorous today of the first recorded adoption was in the book of Genesis, where Pharaoh, an Arab, adopted a Jewish boy, Moses. Kind of interesting days. And then you find out how Esther grew up in a kinship group, and how Hannah brought Samuel to Eli. And Eli would have never passed the state test for being a good foster dad. But God had a plan. God has a plan. And for every single one of you, God has a plan. All you have to do is find it. It's there. And it comes out of serving. And when you begin to serve, joy begins to take place. If you're not having fun or a joyous spirit in serving, you're probably at the wrong place. Do it Jesus' way. Have fun. Enjoy life. Show kids how important they are and that God has a plan for them. One of the things that I also know is that someday you and I are going to be on that stretcher. You and I are going to be on that stretcher. Whether it's through death, divorce, discouragement, depression, disability, disease, whatever it is, you and I are going to be on that stretcher. And we need to have the family of God grab a handle and bring us to Jesus. Whether we call, write a card, just put a happy smile to the people that are on that stretcher so that they understand that we care. That's what it is. We are stretcher bearers, bringing people to Jesus. Our prayer is bringing people to Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we do. So I just want you to know, from the bottom of my heart, you are heroes. There in the Cathedral of the Outdoors, where you have given a week of your time to serve the children, the least of these, the fatherless, the orphan, you are the ones that are giving hope and a bright future for children. One of the things that I shared in the first service is we took 37 kids that first year. 26 of them have come back to us and have shared their faith. And one of them wanted their new Bible because it was really... So we gave them a new Bible. It's just kind of exciting to see what has transpired. You are part of that. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart and on behalf of the children, thank you for who you are and what you do in the ministry of helping children in the foster care system here in Portland. Father, what a privilege it is to stand before people and declare your word. Declare your word of how we're all stretcher bearers, bringing people to Jesus. Lord, I pray that more ministries will spring forth out of this church that'll have a heart to reach the disadvantaged, the difficult ones, so that the abused child's psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pits, out of the mire, out of the mud. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and he put within my heart a new song. Father, may Portland Christian Center be a beacon of hope that declares a new song in children's hearts. And may new ministries arise from this place. We ask this in your mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. For more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Again, thank you for listening.